Well, good morning. It's good to see you today, and it's really good to be here. And if you'd find Acts chapter 9, I want to speak from Acts chapter 9 this morning and tonight. I want to say that we love and appreciate the Fielders in a special way. We've had the privilege of supporting their ministry pretty much from the day they began, and we've had a wonderful part in what they do, not just in a monthly basis of support, but to get to know them, work with them, and be in many, many meetings in the early days of the Worldview Ministry, and it's been a lot of fun. I'd also like to share with you that we know Bob McQuarrie really well, and he's one of your missionaries. Brother Bob was saved in our church back in the early 60s, and he was quite a character. I've heard stories about Bob McQuarrie that he's told on himself that are hard to believe, that he's actually somebody God could use. But he's a great guy. I wish I had his energy. He's a couple of years older than me, and he just wears me out. And he tells some stories about hiding in the gymnasium while the preacher was preaching. And they had a tunnel to go through, and Brother Bob's got some stories. And if God can use Bob McQuarrie, he can use anybody. Amen. But he's a great fella. You really need to, if you don't know him, get to know Brother Bob. He's a sweetheart. We support he and Gail as well, and they come our way from time to time. And so it's always, you know, it's just always good to be around people that love the Lord and have, you know, feel the same way you do about the Bible and about missions and all of these things. And so it's a real privilege to be here. Brother Pastor Monty, thank you for letting me come. Thank you for the accommodations. Thank you for the kindness of everyone. It's been really a blessing to be here. And so thank you for that. What a joy. I want to preach to you today. I've entitled this lesson, this message, I've called it Holding the Ropes. And I want you to think about that. I don't know if you've ever held a rope before, you know, maybe in a tug of war. Who knows, you know, how you've used a rope in your life. But I want to talk about that today, and I want you to see what I believe is the world's first greatest missionary ever to be sent out into the world. And that is this Saul of Tarsus, whom God saved and changed his name to Paul the Apostle, and how he used his life. And I'm praying, I've been prayerful, that this would really minister to your hearts. And church, I really want to speak to you. And I really want to reach into your heart and your life this morning if I can. And I want us to read a good portion of Scripture today, but we'll use it for tonight as well. And let's begin with verse number 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priests, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as they journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now let me pause right there. I believe, based on reading the life and the thoughts of the Apostle Paul, that he knew who Jesus was, that he had seen Jesus on this earth. He understood who he was. And I find this a fascinating passage of Scripture. He said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? What will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told of thee what thou must do. You need to understand that sometimes the Lord just gives it to you one step at a time. I wish I could see the end of the book of my life, but I can't. Sometimes it's just one day at a time. Sometimes it's a week at a time. Sometimes it's a month at a time. Maybe even a year. But what I want you to understand is that's the way it comes.
And so he said, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told of thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Do you see that? Hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, meaning he was blind. And they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias?" And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise, go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire of the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Remember when I said sometimes it's just one day at a time? "Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and he entered into the house. And putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God." Here is the persecutor. Here is the one who is trying to kill Christians, stop them from what they're doing. He is now preaching himself that Christ is the very Son of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing what God can do in a man's heart? And so it says in verse 23, "And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him." And this is my text. "Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket." Could we pray together, please? Father, thank you for this examination of this scripture. Thank you for this wonderful salvation that transpired in Saul of Tarsus's life so that he might become Paul the Apostle. Thank you today that we can read these words and see how his life was transformed by your power. And Father, I would pray this morning that if any in this particular room this morning have never had that happen to their lives, I pray, Lord, that today would be their moment. I thank you for the day when the gospel was clearly presented to myself and I understood it for the first time. And I ask you to save my soul, and you did. I pray, Lord, for one today who might be in that case. I pray that they would trust you. I pray your word would go forth to them. I pray they would be convicted to come and trust you. I pray your will would be done now as we look at your word and your man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I read this passage of Scripture. "Then the disciples took him by night, and the Bible says they let him down by the wall in a basket." Now think about this with me, if you will. I believe the Apostle Paul was probably the world's greatest missionary. That's my personal belief. I believe that this Saul of Tarsus, who hated Christ and his church, and who was so drastically transformed and changed by God's grace, became God's greatest missionary to write us a huge part of the New Testament, more than half of it, in my opinion. And I want you to think about this, if you will, because here is this man, and they're trying to kill him because he is now preaching Christ. And he is telling those whom he persecuted that they needed to be saved like he was saved. And he is against those whom he was with. And now he is preaching Christ in this city called Damascus. And I want you to think about what's going on here, because of his transformation and because of what God did in his life and because of who he is and because of what he's trying to accomplish, along comes persecution in his life. He was trying to persecute the church, and now he is being persecuted himself to the extent that he has to be led off the side of the wall in Damascus in a basket. Now I want you to pause and think about that. Then the disciples took him by night, and they led him down by the wall in a basket. And I want you to pause and think with me about those people who were holding that rope as they dropped that basket over that wall and allowed the Apostle Paul to escape and get away from this place where they were trying to kill him. And I want you to think that through with me. But here's what I want you to think. I don't want you to think necessarily about Paul, but I want you to think about those men, and I'm assuming they were men, who held the rope, who carried the basket, who carried the rope, who stood and said, "We'll watch, we'll make sure nobody sees what goes on, and you guys, Paul, you get into the basket now, and we'll put you over the side here now, and us three or four big men, we'll drop you down by the wall, and when the basket hits the ground, you can flee and you can run." And that's exactly what transpired. Because we read here, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him, and rightfully so. But here's what I want you to try to understand. Here's what I want you to think about with me this morning. As we look back into the Bible, back into the Scriptures, and we go back to Joshua chapter 2, there was a harlot named Rahab who helped two of the spies that had been Joshua had sent into the city, and they helped him over the wall. I read in the Scriptures where David's wife, who was Saul's daughter, helped him to escape during the night to get away from Saul. I read here that the apostles, or at least some disciples in this particular place where Paul was at that time, helped him to escape so that he could be released unto the world to give us at least 12 New Testament books of the Bible. And in my opinion, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews as well. So that would be 13. And so I want you to think about this, because here's what the Bible says. It says, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I want you to think that there had to be at least three people who helped him over that wall. There had to be one to carry it, and perhaps two to carry the basket, and one, of course, to carry the rope, I'm sure. And then these three were able to drop him over the wall. I thought about this a little bit. There's the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I thought a little bit farther. There are three offerings in the Bible. We have the tithe, the building fund, and the faith promise. There are three admonitions in the Bible. It says, pray, give, and go. And so here is the church today. Here we are at Faith Baptist Church in Avon, Indiana. And here we are in a Faith Promise Missionary Conference, and this church, your church, now helps to hold and carry the rope to help missionaries, 31 of them, 5 of them are your members of your church, and they're going around the world with the gospel. God only knows what this church can do if this church would want to just really step out in faith by God's grace. And so I want to challenge you with that. I really do. And I want to challenge you this morning. This is my thought, and this is pretty much a pastor coming to you now, okay? I'm not your pastor, but this is a pastor speaking to you. I want to show you today, if I can, just a few short, quick ways that we can all hold the rope. Every one of us can hold the rope. Every one of us can help these missionaries. Every one of us can be a part of this. All of us, each of us, can be involved in all of this, and it's a wonderful thing. So here's the first thought today that I'd like to share with you. As a church, we hold the ropes when you and I get involved in this matter of world evangelism, and we get involved by giving our faith promise offering right here in this local church. You see, it all begins in the church. It all begins here. Christ died for the church, not the building, but for the church, you and me. And what I want you to try to see with me today is this, is that God is trying to work in your heart, and he's trying to work in my heart, and believe it or not, I'm going to come here and preach, and I'm going to go home all recharged. We just had our missions conference last month, and Brother Fielder was with us, Dr. Keene was with us, and some other missionaries, and it was a wonderful conference. But then when you come to another conference, and you see what other churches are doing, and you get involved, you go home all kind of all revved up, if I can say it that way, okay? And I want to try to get you revved up for just a little bit if I can. Here's what I want you to see. It's not so much as the dollar amount that you give. It's the fact that you get involved and hold the ropes. You may give a dollar. You may give $5. I said this in Sunday school. You may give 10. You may give 20. You may give 25. You may give 50, 100. You may give 125. You may give 200. I don't know. That's between you and God. But what I want you all to understand with me this morning is we're all involved in helping to carry the rope and hold the rope so that we can send these people back to the places where they wish and desire to go. I hear our missionaries. We sit and we talk and we visit. And it takes months sometimes to raise money. And it takes thousands of miles of driving. I mean, the Terrells left here after church last night, and they were driving last night. I know they were gaining an hour, but they were driving last night all the way to Charleston, West Virginia. And I said to him, I said, "Man, I think you're out of your mind." "Oh," he said, "it's not bad. She'll drive most of the way." Amen. Sounds like a man, doesn't it? "Yeah, my wife will drive if I get tired." He said, "I'm the crazy one in this family." But I want to help you to understand a little something. And I like to give you illustrations that really help. In our church, when we take the offering, I do something like this. I say to our church, and I take my tithing envelope, and I say, "Now, folks, take all the change out of your pocket. And this morning I have 6 cents. And that doesn't sound like much in today's society, does it? But we take that. We call it our missionary Christmas offering. And we take all the loose change and we drop it in the plate. Well, last month when that happens, each Christmas, Brother Fielder gets a check and Brother Bob McQueary gets a check, and it's usually $150 to $175, all because of your loose change. And this is what I want you to see, if you can just grasp this. It's a simple illustration. But we started that 20 years ago, and I added it up, and we're right at $100,000 in your loose change. In my 6 cents that I just place in the plate every week. It's almost $97,000 or $98,000 that we put in the plate every Sunday morning, and we take just the loose change, and at Christmas time we just write all of our missionary families a check and we send them a little extra for Christmas. Here's what I'm trying to help you to do. It's called holding the rope, church. It's called just doing a little bit. And when all of us get involved, when all of us are a part of this, God begins to do a marvelous thing collectively for His glory. And you see, we look at this sometimes and we think this is way too much. But what I want you to understand, just do what God wants you to do. Just be obedient to what God desires of you to do. And if every one of us would just be obedient, if every one of us would just do a little bit, you'd be really surprised what God can do through this place. Boy, I want to challenge you with that. I really do. So here's the question. It took disciples, meaning more than one person, to put Paul over that wall. And as I've already said, maybe one fellow carried the rope over his shoulder. Maybe the other one or two carried a basket. I mean, we don't know. Maybe another one carried a sack of provisions for him that would take care of his need as he left. We don't know who they are. And we don't know what happened. But what I want you to see is they collectively helped this man over the wall, and they released the greatest missionary the world has ever known. And his name was Saul of Tarsus, but God saved him and changed his heart and his mind and his life. And this dear man became Paul the Apostle that we all read about. So here's my question to you. Are you holding any part of the rope today? And if you answer in your mind, don't answer it audibly, but if you answer, "No, I'm really not," can I challenge you to get involved? Can I just really challenge you to take 6 cents out of your pocket and give it to God? Can I just really challenge you this morning that collectively a group like this could do magnificent things for God? And I know it's a monetary offering, but there may be other things. Here's another question. What part of the rope should you be holding? Here's one that you probably don't want to hear. Should you get in the basket? Should you be the one who is led over the wall? Should you be the one that is released to the world to take the gospel to some regional area in the world? Think on it a little. Here's the second thing I want you to understand. As the church, this is probably more important than anything we do. As the church, we hold the ropes by praying for these missionaries. Don't give them your money if you're not going to pray for them. Don't give a dime if you won't pray for them. Because they need us to pray. They need the power of God. I've had people text me this morning already. I've had pastors and I've had men who know I'm preaching here this morning. And I've had texts and I've had scripture sent to me. And they're saying to me, Pastor, we are praying for you right now. And your pastor knows that we need prayer. I need to pray. But I need a church that prays for me. And these missionaries need churches that pray for them. Because they're in places, as we saw last night, that need God's people lifting them up to the Lord in prayer and inviting God to help them and protect them in places that's unforeseen to us. But we're praying for them. Turn with me, if you will, for just a moment to chapter 12. And notice in chapter number 12 in the opening verses, I'm just one of these kind of preachers. I just go to the scriptures all the time. I don't really have a whole lot to say. I just go to the Word of God. And I want you to see this. And I want you to look with me here in Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. See, the enemy's always out there. All right? And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when they had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now watch this. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the what? Church unto God for him. Now think about that. And prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And it's the most wonderful thing. You read the remainder of the chapter and you find that the angels come and they just walk Peter right through everybody and he's released and he's out there. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And so Peter, he goes where the church is. And it's the funniest thing. You get over in chapter 13, and Peter goes where the church is, and they're praying, and Peter goes, knocks on the door. You just read the rest of the chapter. Peter knocks on the door, and he knocks on the door. The church is praying, and he's knocking on the door, and the church is praying. And finally, one comes and says, it's Peter. And she said, Peter's here, but the church is praying. Peter's already here, but the church is, and they don't believe it. Read about it. Get to chapter 13 with me. And notice what we see in the first four verses. Now there were in the church, here we go again, the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers and Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord, watch it now, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to be their ministers. It all began when the church prayed. So how's your praying for these missionaries? Sometimes the older folks in our church, when I say older, I'm kind of there now. I'll be 68 in February, and I feel like an old man sometimes. When I'm talking to those of you who are 65 and up, your crowd will come to me as a pastor and say, you know, Pastor, I can't do much. All I can do is pray. Wow. All I can do is pray. All I can do is pray, Pastor. And I think to myself, if you just really understood the power prayer. If you just really understood the magnitude of lifting your words and your burdens and these missionaries and all of this up to the God of heaven, who owns it all, who can make a movement in people's lives if He so desires. If you just could understand what it means to pray. And so I challenge us to pray. I challenge us to think about this issue of praying. The Bible says we're to pray without ceasing. The Bible teaches us, if you just turn there right quick, I love what Colossians chapter number 1 says to us, and it's worth reading, and I challenge you to see it with me. Colossians chapter number 1. And there's just one verse that I think I want you to see that will just challenge your heart. And Paul said in verse 8, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ." Now watch this. And this I pray, Paul said, "that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." What I want you to understand today, church, as I leave here this day, I want you to understand something. The greatest thing you can do is to pray for these missionaries. I mean, take the booklet and go to the back page, rip it out if you have to, put it in the flyleaf of your Bible, and on at least a weekly basis, spend some time praying for the missionaries of this church. Here's the third thing that I think we ought to see this morning, and that's this. We hold the ropes as a church by being willing to go ourselves. Now it's real personal, isn't it? We had a couple come to our church a couple, 3 years back. And their name is Jason and Danielle Canfield. And Jason had been in the military and he had been a police officer. He held his police officer brother in his arms as he had been shot and died in his arms. And as a young man, he had been to South America and he'd been to Brazil and he had been to a number of places, and God had really put missions on his heart. He came to me a while back and he said, "Pastor," he said, "God brought us up here from Virginia," and he said he brought us here for a reason. And he said that reason he brought us here for was to get us to surrender our lives to go to Ecuador. And he's got a wonderful ministry that he's going to have, and he's a great young man and a lot of wonderful experience. And he came to me and he said, "Now we want to take a trip down. We want to go in April." And he told me how much it was going to cost. And anyway, long story short, on the second Sunday, we do a Sunday and a Wednesday, Thursday and a Friday, and then a Sunday. And on the second Sunday, I presented him to the church. And he gave his testimony, and we're going to buy his plane ticket for he and his family to go down there. But you want to know what the most wonderful part about it is? It's not the money that's involved. It's the fact that God touched somebody's heart in our ministry to go to the foreign field. It's the fact that God called one man and his wife and his boys, and they are excited to go do something for God away from where we are. And I count it an honor and a privilege to help send them there. And my prayer as I've come your way is that God might touch somebody's heart in this room who would give his or her life to Christ for the rest of their lives. It's the greatest thing that a person can do. You know who God usually uses? He usually uses busy people. He usually uses people who are giving to missions. He usually uses people who are praying for missionaries. I want you to see that. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that I was working the transmission line in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was building 75 transmissions an hour, and I hated every minute of it. And God took me from that line and moved me to Pontiac, Michigan, and put me in Bible college, and then put me to work for General Motors building trucks. Isn't that a hoot? I mean, he took a Buckeye and put him in Michigan. Now he took a Buckeye pastor and put him in Michigan. I often tell our church, "I pastor the heathen." That's who I am. And we have a lot of fun. Please pray for me the last weekend of this month. because my boys are going to play Michigan again. And they both have good teams. But here's what I'm trying to show you. I was just like any of you, working the line, had bought my first house, had a nice car. And God said, remember when you were 16? Remember at your dad's funeral? Remember the call of God in your life? I'm checking in with you. Are you ready to do it now? And I don't know what God's trying to do in this room this morning. I don't have a clue. I don't. But this is what I want you to understand. Sometimes we hold the ropes by going. By going. Here's my final point, and I'll quit. We hold the ropes, and some of you are going to say, oh, amen. By staying right here in this great work of God and caring for this work of God and this preacher and his staff and these missionaries. Sometimes that's what God does. And I want you to understand something. We all can't be missionaries. If we all went to be missionaries, there wouldn't be a church to preach to. And we all can't be pastors. Otherwise, all of you would want my job. Amen. But what I want you to understand is, have you ever just thought about those people who dropped Paul over the wall? Just think about it. They're totally anonymous. We know nothing about them. Did you ever just in your mind think, wonder what happened to those guys? Wonder what they're doing? Well, maybe, just maybe, they are faithfully still serving the Lord in Damascus. Amen. And somebody has to do that. These missionaries will tell you that. I mean, it just has to be. Someone has to stay in Jerusalem. Someone has to stay. I understand that. Someone in Jerusalem has to give. Someone in Jerusalem has to pray. And what I want you to see is we are all holding the ropes. And sometimes some of us in Jerusalem have to go. We have to carry the torch. We have to go ourselves. I read this verse of Scripture and it was fascinating. And Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen's death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church. Listen to it now. That was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Now listen to it. Except the apostles. Somebody had to stay in Jerusalem and preach the word. And the Bible says it was the apostles. I love what David said. But as his part is he that goeth to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. In other words, some of us have to stay put right here while those go there. And while they are there, we are staying by the stuff here. And God rewards both. You see my point? God rewards both. And so as we bring this to a conclusion this morning, and as I close my Bible in a moment, I want to ask you, what part of the rope should you be holding? Do you need to get involved with a card? Please let me challenge you to get involved. Please help me to help you to understand that this is probably the greatest blessing monetarily you'll ever have. My banker called it discretionary money. What a joke. Discretionary money. People around the world are being saved. Their lives are being changed. We're translating scriptures in foreign languages where they've never seen a line or a verse of the Word of God, much less the name of Jesus, with discretionary money. What a blessing. Maybe you need to get involved by praying. I'm going to take that folder and I'm going to take those missionaries' names and I am going to begin to pray for those people regularly. I'm going to call on God. Maybe you need to go yourself. Maybe you just need to stay here. Maybe you just need to help carry the torch in this place. I appreciated the torch service a moment ago. And I'm assuming missionaries and church family. Missionary and church family. What a blessing when we shoulder the work with them and help them. Last Sunday morning, there was a black police officer in our church. And he and his wife both are black police officers in Detroit. If you've been in Detroit, it's a rough part of the world. We've been praying for Adelon for a long time that he would be saved. And recently her father died. I'm not sure what transpired, but I do know this, that Adelon was in some situation in the Detroit Police Department, and they, what they do for them is they give them some time off, but God got a hold of his heart. And last Sunday morning, as I finished the service, I looked up, and here they come. I'm thinking, wow, what's going on here? We've been praying for Adelon for 5 years. And so I'm finishing up invitation, and I go over, and I hear him, and I hear her praying, and he's asking God to save his soul. Amen. And what I'm trying to help you to understand is they need to be saved there, but they need to be saved here too. What I'm trying to help you to understand this morning is this is a full package, and we're all in this together. And if you're not saved this morning, if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you to trust Him today. If you've never followed Him in believer's baptism, let me encourage you to follow Him in believer's baptism. If you're not a member of this church, this is a good church, you need to get involved. Let me challenge you about all of these things. If you're not involved in this missions program, let me challenge you to get involved and allow me to hear of the blessing that God has done in your life as a result of it. Could we stand together and pray this morning? Our Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for this good church. Thank you for the privilege today to stand in this man's pulpit and preach the Word of God. Thank you. But Father, do a work in our lives. Maybe someone needs to come and they need to trust you and allow you to have your way. Maybe they need to join this good church. Maybe they just want to come to the altar and just say, Lord, how much would you want me to give to Faith Promise? I do not know. Lord, I just ask that you would move and that you would help us. I just pray that you would help us to hold the ropes, whatever portion of the rope you wish us to hold. God, have your way in our hearts. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the music's playing softly. The altar is open. I'd encourage you to come. Maybe you just want to pray about that faith promise. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you need to be saved. Whatever your need is, just come and allow God to help you.